You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
What's going on, everybody? I am Jimmy Kemsky of PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is the flyered up Brandon Lee Gowton of FleetingGreenNation.com. Brandon, first intermission here. As we record this, Flyers up 3-0. How you doing, buddy?
Jimmy, doing well. Love to see the Flyers doing well, of course. Day 9, I guess, here of training camp. And then it says BGN Radio 141. We only have a few days left here, so, you know, getting it in while we can. And, of course, BGN Radio brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. And now you can eat the same meat snacks that the Eagles do by going to RighteousFelon.com and using discount code BGN15 at checkout for 15% off. Jimmy, where do we start today?
Well, the way that you phrased your headline is a good way to put it. You have a couple of 2019 draft picks, Eagles draft picks, that had very noteworthy days, and for polar opposite reasons, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has had a really good camp so far. He had a spectacular day today. Andre Dillard, not so much. Really just one rep for Dillard that was really bad. Didn't have a good day overall, but it was just the one glaring rep that was just so bad, and I think, you know, the concerns about him protecting Carson Wentz's blind side were amplified today. I'll just paint the picture real quick for the listeners. There was an 11-on-11 session in which Joe Osman was rushing from the right side of the defensive line. And nothing special, like nothing fancy, just a straight bull rush. Got under Dillard, pushed him way back. Dillard basically fell on his ass. Or more accurately, his ass fell into Carson Wentz's left knee. Yeah, I mean, he got put on his back by Osman. It was just a straightforward pass rush. Osman isn't the biggest guy, so for him to be able to sort of take him the way that he did is really concerning. And Dillard just fell into Wentz's knee. Wentz's knee kind of bent awkwardly as he went down. You have, you know, a 325, 330-pound guy falling into your left leg at an awkward angle, and there was like a sort of a big scare there in camp for a second or two. Wentz happened to pop right back up, and he's fine. Like, he finished practice with no issues or anything like that. So nothing to worry about in terms of his health. But I think there is something to worry about in terms of his future health with Andre Dillard protecting his blind side.
Yeah, that was a big thing I talked about going back to the draft. It was like, it was super hard for me to be excited about the Eagles, like what they were doing in the time in the draft, when I was thinking about, you know, Dillard and all these reports that we had heard about him, specifically around the time of the draft when the Eagles kind of were potentially even considering moving him in some kind of deal. And really, it's just fit the theme of the offseason where there's been a lot of concerns raised about Andre Dillard going back to January when Jeff McClain had that article that, like, not everyone in the building was ready to really turn the page on JP and give the job to Dillard. Mm-hmm. And there's internal concern about Dillard. And then, you know, Derek Gunn at one point that they were, like, dangling him out there. And just a lot of things that, you know, didn't inspire confidence about Andre Dillard. And sure enough, I don't think he's had a disastrous camp. Like, I wouldn't say that. At the same time, I'm not watching every offensive line snap. You know, it's just hard to do. But I mean, this was a disastrous play, or it could have been. Like, this could have been Carson Wentz's season right here. Like, just by
right.
And to, you know, give more context to the situation, you're talking about like a fifth defensive end on the team at best, a 2018 undrafted rookie free agent signing, like destroying.
And not a big guy at all.
Well, he's jacked, but yeah, not.
Yeah,
not,
yeah, he's muscular guy, yeah. But he's not like a big hulking defensive end. He's a smaller guy.
And in any case, this undrafted rookie free agent from a couple years ago destroying your first round pick offensive tackle that you traded up for in the draft. Like, that is just not good enough. And obviously the offensive line as a whole hasn't really had a great camp. And yeah, there's serious concern about Dillard. I said a level of concern with him for me is 7 out of 10. Maybe that's even underselling it. Jimmy, what would you say your level of concern is?
I'm at like an 8.5. So I wouldn't. I mean, you said he hasn't had a bad camp.
No. I said he hasn't had like some kind of disastrous camp.
Yeah, it hasn't had. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. So like, I don't think he's had a good camp by any stretch. I think he's actually kind of had a bad camp. Yeah. You know, this isn't the first time he's been beaten on a bull rush. This camp, I mean, he's gotten pushed back plenty during this training camp, but that was the first one that was just really, like, you didn't even have to be watching him to see that, to see this play and see, like, you know, Wentz getting his knee buckled. I happened to be watching him on that play. I went into today sort of wanting to watch him specifically, and I had my binoculars on the play too. Like, I happened to be watching him specifically, and again, like I said, there's just nothing fancy about, you know, that about Osmond's pass rush move or anything like that. He just went straight bull rush and just buckled him right into Wentz. It's just really not good. And I think it's a huge, huge concern for the Eagles going forward. Not only just in this year, but going forward in terms of, like, if he's a bust, you pretty much have to consider left tackle their biggest offseason need next year.
Yeah, I mean, because what else do you have, really? I mean, is Jordan Mailata even going to make the team? Like, that's not really a surefire plan. You're probably not going to put Matt Pryor out there. You know, I don't know if Jack Driscoll or Prince Tega Wanogo are, like, really real options that you're just going to lean on there. Jimmy, I want to ask you, if you had to set an over-under for the time for Jason Peters to take over at left tackle... And this obviously isn't, we're not counting injury here. We're just talking like performance related. What would you set that over or under at?
I've already given that some thought, and I go week 3.5.
Jeez, that's terrible.
That would be the week before they face the San Francisco 49ers and, of course, Nick Bosa. So, yeah, that would be when I'd be really concerned if I were the Eagles, if he has a bad start to the season. And really, I think, like, right now already, I think their best five is JP, Seumalo, Kelsey, Pryor, Lane Johnson. I don't think their best five is Dillard, Seumalo, Kelsey, Peters, Johnson. So
that's pretty concerning.
So there you go. I mean, I understand, like, you don't pull the plug on Dillard yet. Like, you hope that he can, you know, kind of snap out of it, show something, and be the left. You can't, like, give up on him now. But I, you know, if I were the Eagles, I would sort of have an itchy trigger finger and maybe have a quick hook if things aren't going well early in the season, because, you know, they think they're Super Bowl contenders. And certainly in this garbage NFC East, you know, it's a division that they can win. And I don't think you can stick with them for too long if it's just not working out. And the way he's getting beaten is just with pure power. So it's not like... It's something that is, like, super fixable. You either have the strength to stop these bull rushes or you don't. And right now, it doesn't, like, he bulked up a little bit in the offseason, like, he got more muscular, but does he have the functional strength to stop these powerful NFL rushers?
And I would say his struggles are so concerning for, you know, Carson Wentz specifically. Like, I mean, that goes without saying, he's playing left tackle. If I'm saying, like, I'm trying to say here, you know, if you have Matt Collins playing out there at wide receiver and he's ineffective, like, that doesn't damage Carson Wentz in the sense of, like, he's not going to injure him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Carson Wentz most likely isn't going to get hurt because Matt Collins is out there at wide receiver. He is most definitely going to get hurt if, you know, Andre Dillard is playing like this and that's the guy protecting his blind side and you can't trust him. Like, that's a huge deal. It could sink the whole season, basically, is what I'm trying to say. It could be like a season costing mistake to have him out there for an extended period of time. So for that reason, yeah, I agree. You can't have an unlimited leash. There has to be a limit on the leash, especially like if the rest of the team is kind of looking good and clicking. Yeah, like you can't just have him out there and being like, well, we have to figure it out. Now, at the same time, that's pretty disappointing if you have to pull him, again, because what you gave up for him and that he's supposed to be your left tackle of the future. But, you know, at some point, you have to just be real and admit that he might not be, which is which is really concerning. And I guess this is probably the Eagles' biggest concern, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's my biggest concern for the Eagles for sure. And I don't think it's really close between that and whatever would be number two on my list. Well, how would you rank them? How would you rank your biggest? Would it be, first of all, would that be yours as well? And how would you rank your biggest Eagles concerns right now?
Yeah, I would say that when you factor in for importance, left tackle, Andre Dillard, him specifically, is a huge concern. Offensive line, I really think you can kind of group as a whole now. Two, just the way they've looked in camp hasn't been encouraging. I would also put wide receiver up there still, just because I want to see the guys prove it. We went over this yesterday in our mailbag podcast you can post. And guys have been looking good in camp, and I'm encouraged. But like until they prove it, like I'm still not fully buying into that. So that's still a big concern to me, too. And just wondering, is Carson Wentz truly going to have enough weapons? Or is this going to be another situation where, like last year, you have PFF ranking the Eagles receiving core like number one in the league, and we all think like it's going to be really good. And they look good in week one. Alshon and Deshaun have big games, and everything is looking great. I just want to see it in game action. But I think, again, the Dillard thing just has so much.
I do feel better about the wide receiver position now, for sure. After these first 10, nine, practices that we've been able to watch. Like they've all made their share of like really nice plays. You know what? Like I've barely seen the ball hit the ground really at all in this camp.
Yeah,
I tweeted. At least the one the passes that have been on the receivers.
Yeah, we talked about it again yesterday too. But like I haven't noticed many drops really.
They've barely dropped anything. Can you remember a JJ drop?
I needed one. I heard someone tweeted it, or I think Bo Wolf had mentioned it. Like he had one like on that first day he returned, but outside of that, I can't really think of another.
We mentioned John Hightower, I think, on the last pod. Really hasn't had any drops. Rager's dropped a few punts.
Yeah,
Watkins has had a few drops, but for the most part, he's been pretty good too. But yeah, I mean, it's night and day compared to like last season where they couldn't catch anything.
Why don't we take a break here, Jimmy, and then we'll get into more of JJ on the positive side of things.
Back after this.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on BGN Radio episode 141, going over our training camp recap. We started off negative, and you probably already turned off the podcast if you're not looking for some negativity in your life right now when it comes to Mr. Andre Dillard.
Hey, we gotta say what we see, buddy.
I agree. Oh yeah, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. And I think people respect that and get that. But two, it's nice to focus on the positives. And JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Jimmy, like you said, he's been looking great in camp. I thought specifically, and obviously in the red zone, he stood out today. But the things I would...
Spectacular day today by JJ.
Good hands, good route running, and good body control. Really demonstrated all of those things. That pass, I think we had to talk about the pass. That, you kind of tweeted out in the description. And you can get into that. I want to say from my vantage point, it almost looked like he intercepted the ball. Like, I swear yeah. Carson was staring down Greg Ward on that play. And then, like, I didn't even know where JJ was. Like, I just saw him coming out of nowhere. And Eagles PR staffer was next to me, and he was like, he couldn't believe it. He was, like, incredulous. Like, it was just that amazing of a play.
The best catch of camp, in my opinion.
What did you see on that play?
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, it was a laser from Wentz. I didn't see the other receiver coming across. From like my vantage point, I saw JJ sort of the whole way. Mm-hmm. And he was running, you know, across the back of the end zone. And the pass was, whether it was for him or not, the pass was behind him. And he just reached back with his right hand. And he didn't pluck it clean with his right hand. Like, if he had plucked it clean with his hand with the you know, the amount of heat that this pass had on it, like, that would have been amazing. But he you know, the ball kind of bounced off his hand a little bit initially. And then he was able to sort of corral it, but at the same time, kind of toe tapping along the back of the end zone. And I don't know how he kept his feet in. As you mentioned, the body control before was on full display there. And just in my opinion, it was the best catch of camp. Like, there's been a lot of good catches in this camp so far, but that one kind of really, that was a great, great catch. Just with being able to catch it with one hand, and then also being able to toe tap, really having the wherewithal to toe tap, and then actually being able to execute it while making a spectacular catch. And yeah, I mean, like, the people in my area were like, I mean, it really kind of got their attention as well. And then earlier in the day, he had another diving catch in the back of the end zone where he was able to keep his feet in. And I know Kelsey got really fired up mm-hmm. after a Deontay Burnett catch during camp, but he was fired up after that catch as well, ran in, kind of did the side bump with JJ. So JJ's making a lot of nice plays. He's making all the plays that he should make. Like, again, like we mentioned, you know, there might be one drop, if that. He's also made a lot of very good catches, whether they be diving catches, the one-handed catch we just mentioned, contested catches, you know, sideline catches where he's keeping his feet in. He's just had, like, a really, really good camp, and I think there's legitimate reason to think that he's actually going to contribute this year, whereas last year was kind of like a total waste.
And his mentality, again, we talked about it when he had that press conference last week, and he talked again today. Yeah. Just seems to be in a better place. He just seems to, like, be in the right space mentally. And I said, you know, that doesn't really mean much if he doesn't back it up. And he is backing it up. So, yeah, definitely encouraged by J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I wonder what the wide receiver position is going to look like. I still think, you know, Deshaun is obviously your starting Z. Although, ideally, the Eagles probably don't want to be playing him 100% of the time if they have to, you know, kind of manage yeah. him to some extent. So you kind of want, I think it's going to be some kind of rotation of a top four between, at least most heavily between Deshaun and I think Rager specifically and JJ at the X position. And then you have Greg Ward in the slot. I'm pretty sure he's going to be their starting slot guy and get a lot of time there. And then, you know, with the way John Hightower is looking, I mean, he made another impressive catch today, deep catch, ball in the money from Carson Wentz, contested over the shoulder catch with, you know, Avante Maddox on him, like ornaments on a Christmas tree, and makes the catch anyway. So maybe, like, you know, a Hightower and a Watkins rotate in, maybe more so Hightower. I don't know if all six are active, but I think it's going to be some kind of rotation in there. Is that fair to say?
Who's your, yeah, I think so. Who's your third in snap counts? JJ or Greg Ward? Because I guess we're both probably assuming it's going to be 1-2. Deshaun, Rager, in whatever order you have them. And then 3-4 is probably going to be Ward, JJ. So who do you have getting more snaps, Ward or JJ?
I'll actually say Ward early on just because I really do. Like, Carson loves throwing it to Greg Ward. He really does.
Okay. I think JJ maybe gives you a little bit more in terms of where you can line him up. You're not going to be lining up Ward much on the outside, obviously, whereas JJ, I think he can play inside and outside. I don't know. I think I might go JJ on that.
Okay.
Especially for the season in its entirety. I think he's actually maybe going to contribute this year. I'm a little bit sold on him.
he's definitely going to get playing time. Like, we know that now. Like, it's going to happen.
I'm going to be totally tricked by yet another training camp. I'm setting myself up for abuse later in the season. But I actually do think this training camp is legit. The performance that he's put together so far here is legit, and I think it's going to carry over to the regular season. I think they might actually have something here. I think he's, you know, I mean, I don't want to get carried away with what he's going to do, but I think he's going to be a positive contributor in 2020.
The other big news from training camp, Jimmy, is that Jannard Avery carted off the field today, went down in pain, had a bunch of players come over to him. Doug Peterson came over to him. Didn't look good. He was holding his hands on his head for a while. Just, you know, not, I mean, obviously we don't, as of this record time, we don't know the official word, but it just, it does not look good for Jannard Avery. And, you know, you never want to see that. Obviously he was not having a good camp prior to injury. So I feel like this kind of bails out Howie Roseman, because I feel like if we're just going off of merit, you know, he should have been cut and he should not have made the team. But now it looks like, you know, if he has some kind of ACL injury or season ending injury, the Eagles can just stash him on IR and try to develop him more. What's your take on the Avery injury?
Yeah, he got hurt on a play where he was rushing the passer up the middle. Fran, who was standing nearby, Fran Duffy, seemed to think that he was rushing from the outside, was looping inside, and was trying to cut in the hole to try to go towards the quarterback. It was, I believe it was Wentz on the play. And his knee just, bang, gave out. I saw him go down, and he immediately was in pain. Like, the look on his face was not good. And as you mentioned, he had his head in his hands for a while. Cravon came out, you know, wished him well. Jake Elliott sprinted over from wherever he was. He wished him well as he went off on the cart. So, you know, not
the two leaders of the team.
Not that's right. So, you know, disappointing, sad news for Jannard Avery. I don't think he was going to make the team. I think if he would have made the team, it would have maybe hurt them, is the wrong way to put it. But I think a better player would have missed out on making the team had he made the team, simply because they traded a fourth round pick for him. And as you mentioned, now Howie dodges the bullet of having to cut him. Not that Howie's rooting for, you know, Jannard Avery to tear his ACL or whatever happened to him.
Right.
But you know, he dodges the bullet of having to cut him. And if, you know, that ever comes up, he can always answer in a way where it's like, well, we'll never know what he could have done because he tore his ACL. So I don't know. But tough break for Jannard Avery today. But again, we've mentioned already a number of times that, well, first of all, you look at the defensive end position and you have your four locks in Graham, Barnett, Sweat, and Curry. And then thereafter, you know, there's guys sort of fighting for that fifth defensive end spot. Do you think there's a chance they keep six? Or do you think it's just going to be five?
It's kind of tough when you look at how it breaks down. It's not impossible. They could keep six. It's definitely doable, but it's just kind of like not super easy depending how you do your breakdown. I think it's possible because I think Osman has really earned a spot. Like he's looked pretty good. And Tool Hill, I think he's done a lot of good things too, and he like his potential. I still don't think he's ready to contribute right away at all. Like, I don't think you want him playing, but I think he's shown enough potential where you don't really want to lose him. And even Sharif Miller had a good rep today. He was getting some run with the first team defense. I thought he beat Matt Pryor on the edge to get like pressure on Carson Wentz, kind of force a sack or a throwaway, whatever. So yeah, the Eagles have options there for sure. What about you?
Sharif Miller turned his ire toward the media. When was that, a day or two ago?
Last night.
Okay.
Fake news, Jimmy.
I have him keeping six. I have him keeping both Osman and Tool Hill. I haven't had that on any of my projections so far, but on the next one, I will have them keeping six defensive ends, and those will be the two guys that they keep.
Also, on the injury front, wanted to mention that Sidney Jones returned to practice today and that he was wearing a helmet, but I'm like 100% sure that he was not in team drills. I did not see him taking reps with the full team.
I did not see him in team drills. I don't think he played in 11 on 11s at all. I'm pretty sure of that. I would have noticed that, I think.
It was because it was Craig James and Rasul Douglas as the second team outside cornerbacks, you know, where usually Sidney has been there when he has been healthy. So, I mean, that's like basically the seventh straight practice where Sidney Jones has not participated in team drills with only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday remaining.
You know what else? Not great. We haven't seen much of Lane Johnson either.
Yeah, he got hurt, a couple days ago, and now he hasn't been out there for like 3 days or so now.
At some point, that's going to be concerning. So we'll see. No,
especially when your left tackle isn't looking
right.
Good.
Yeah. Pryor's been filling in for him. Pryor's actually looked pretty good from what I've seen at right tackle, which is a little bit surprising to me. I think, there's one point I'd taken a sort of a deep look at Pryor's snaps last season, and I kind of had him pegged as guard only, but he's actually been pretty good at right tackle from what I've seen there so far. Pryor's had a good camp, but anyway, getting a little off track here. Any other injury things to note?
I just have some small notes, I guess, to wrap us out here. I think Jalen Hurts has kind of cooled off a little bit. Like,
you know what, a good day.
I don't think
Sud.
Yeah, he did. He threw that pick to Rasul on a play where like held the ball on too long. Obviously, a big issue with Nate Sudfeld. But yeah, overall, I've always maintained that Sudfeld kind of looks good in the red zone. For whatever reason, he can throw that fade. He kind of just looks like sharper down there. I guess because like he doesn't always have as much time to hold on to the ball down there. Like you kind of have to make a decision quicker because you're running out of room. So I think that kind of helps him. Yeah, and I think like early in training camp, Hurts was just so clearly outplaying Sudfeld, and I don't think that's been the case as much recently. I still think Hurts is coming for that job, but like for right now, it's still Sudfeld. I also had Elijah Holyfield had a good spin move to fake out Sean Bradley. I think Holyfield is that favorite right now still for that fourth running back spot. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance they only keep three?
Sure. At least initially. But I think Holyfield's making the case.
Especially with that new role where you can bump up a couple practice squad guys each week. Like it would make sense to do that with a running back.
Yeah.
Because who's going to claim Holyfield?
I don't know. Maybe no one.
Yeah. Maybe the Panthers. Maybe they take him back.
New era, though. New regime.
That's true.
Deonte Burnett continues to look good. Had a one-handed catch today on like a ball thrown behind him. Tipped it to himself. Like just pretty impressive. And Jason Kelce praised him for that. You mentioned that earlier. Yep. Just continues to look good. No doubt in my mind he at least deserves to be on the practice squad. I had Duke Riley had a pass breakup. He continues to look active in coverage. I love the energy the defense plays with Jimmy. You know, like Rasul had that pick and then he pitches it to Craig James and they score a touchdown. And like the defense is going crazy and they've been pretty vocal in camp and they've played well. So they've, you know, earned their right to be energetic. I think that's definitely something to watch out for this year.
Fletcher Cox had a little dance after he was able to get a hand on a screen pass. By the way, he has he's looked okay. So far, like he's not a guy that like really stands out in camp ever because he like doesn't go 100% usually in camp. But you think, I mean, you compare him to where he was last year where he didn't practice at all in training camp. And I think that's sort of an underrated thing that we haven't mentioned yet during camp.
Sure. Yeah, those are always the things you can take for granted. Just the guys who are good, looking good. And on that note, I saw Zach Ertz like freaking pancake Elijah Riley, you know.
Yes, I saw that too. And he was pretty happy with himself after that too.
Yeah, and Riley gave him a high five after that too. And it kind of looked like they exchanged some words there. It wasn't he did, but there was something going on. Oh,
and Fletch, by the way, getting back to him, he and JP kind of went at it a little bit today. Did you notice that?
No.
They didn't get a full-on fight or anything like that, but they were barking at each other after one of the reps. Early in camp too. Or really, really early in practice, rather. So that was kind of interesting to see.
Anything else, Jimmy, before we wrap up?
No, that's it. Other than if you're looking to buy or sell a house, by all means, call the best realtor in the history of the universe, Kristen Roach, 856-906-9295. Kristen Roach, Roach Realty. How about you?
You know, it's funny you say that, Jimmy, because we actually had to take down the BGN Radio, the only Eagles podcast, because the NFL wanted us to... wasn't happy with us trying to claim that we're the only, you know what I mean? This very realistic claim that we were making that we were the only Eagles podcast. You know,
wait, the NFL had a problem with that?
Yeah, so I hear, yes. So,
wow.
You know, priorities.
Well, why would they care? Why would the NFL care?
In fairness, though, like, we were trying to trick everyone.
The NFL doesn't have like an Eagles podcast. Why would they care?
I have no idea. But anyway.
That's phenomenal. Yeah,
so... So setting the schedule here, you know, it looks like the Eagles are probably going to have another physical, like kind of, it'll be thud for the starters, I imagine, and then tackling for the backup units on Friday, or sorry, I keep getting my days messed up. That's just the nature of training camp. I lose track of time. Thursday, August 27th, the Eagles will have this physical practice, then they'll have off.
I don't think so. I think they're going to go light today because they went live today at the end of practice. So that was their second of the two live practices that they're going to have. Tomorrow's going to be like 95 degrees. I don't think they're going to have a really physical practice tomorrow. I think they're going to go light.
What?
And then they'll have the day off on Friday. And then they come back on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, one of those two practices might be a little lively. But I think they're going to go soft tomorrow because it's going to be hot as hell out there.
Okay. So three more practices left in any case. And then off day Friday, we'll have three more training camp recap podcast for you. It's gone by quick, I feel like, at least on my end, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, it's shorter, obviously, this year for us than it's been in the past. It's just going to be 12 practices, whereas before we probably got around like 16. Oh, before we move on, too, by the way, one quick note on the Giants They lost two, well, one for sure defensive starter in Xavier McKinney, maybe for the season. He has a broken foot, and then he's going to get surgery on that soon. And then David Mayo, a linebacker who maybe not necessarily a bona fide starter, but was competing to start maybe. He's out now with a torn meniscus. So they're, I mean, I can't, like you said before the podcast got rolling, I can't imagine how that's possible with the tame camp that the Giants have had under Joe Judge.
And you don't like a Mayo. You're more of an Aioli guy, right?
Yeah, Aioli kind of is Mayo, though, isn't it? It's like a Mayo mix. It's like, isn't it?
It's like a I have no
garlicky
idea.
Mayo, something. But I do not like Mayo. That is correct. I'm more of a mustard guy. You don't like mustard, right?
Oh, it depends. Like, if it's in a Cuban sandwich, that's where it belongs, you know, like in that kind of context. I don't, like, just love it plain. Okay. Or like, anyway.
Well, I mean, you don't just eat spoonfuls of mustard?
I mean, I don't. This might surprise you.
I like it on a Cuban. I don't like it on its own.
You know, those are the two extremes. There's one of the only two ways you can have mustard. So.
Yeah.
This has been BTN Radio episode 141 here on the Blue and Green Nation podcast feed. Obviously, subscribe, rate, review. The season's coming up soon. You want to be, you know, stay tuned for all the good content we have here and then on bleedinggreennation.com and obviously Philly Voice for Jimmy. And you can follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gowden. Follow Jimmy on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. Follow BGN Radio on Twitter at BGN underscore radio. Follow at Bleeding Green on Twitter. Help us get to the 100,000 follower mark. I really want to get there at some point. It's going to happen eventually. Why not get us there sooner? And then obviously, as you know, BGN Radio is brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, where you can go to righteousfelon.com and check out their meat snacks or their non-meat snacks. And you can use discount code BGN15 at checkout for 15% off orders. We'll be back here. Jimmy and I will be back here on Thursday before the Eagles have off on Friday, as I said before. And then until next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.